Hello and welcome to the very first ever Entrepreneur Experiment Book Club with me, Gary Fox. I'm just off the call with Fabio Molle, where we review last month's book, Bezonomics. It's the whole story of Amazon, how Jeff Bezos got started, and a lot about his plans for the future. It's a super read. I won't ruin the episode you're about to listen to, but I highly recommend it if you haven't read it yet. If you haven't read it, don't worry. You don't have to have read it to enjoy the episode. We kind of talk about everything about the book and about Amazon itself and about e-commerce in general. So if you haven't read it, don't stress out. If you have, get in touch with me on social. Let me know what you thought and recommend books for future months. Next month's book, which is this month now, August, is called The Gambler, How Penniless Dropout Kirk Kerkorian, what a tongue twister, became the greatest deal maker in capitalist history. It's not something I would have normally read. It's an old style biography. This American World War II pilot, he became such an entrepreneur. He owned half Vegas by the end. He started an airline. He owned MGM Studios. It's an unbelievable story. It's something that would be hard to make up. My favorite types of books are nonfiction that read like fiction, and this absolutely nails it. So do jump in August. I know it's a little bit late in the month now, but do jump in, get involved. You can get an audiobook. You can get a Kindle version. It's a super read. Without further ado, here is me and Fabio Molle chatting about Bezonomics. Fabio, welcome to the first ever book club.
Great. It's a privilege to be on with you, Gary, talking about books. Thanks for inviting me on, and thanks for sending over the book. It was actually an unsuccessful mission sending over the book. You failed on sending me the book.
I made a massive boo-boo on that one. I copied and pasted Fabio's email or Fabio's address and missed out on one vital detail, his number. I got the number wrong.
Terrible. And my neighbor who lived across the road, that's where it ended up, said she just sent it back to Amazon.
I can't believe she didn't read it. We could have had her on instead.
Could have had her on. And yeah, so that's like the 15th to the 16th of July, sorry. And I'm not the quickest reader in the world. So I was under a bit of pressure to get
speed
it done.
Speed reading, like when back in school. So we're talking about Bezonomics or Bezosonomics or Bezonomics, whatever you want to call it. What did you think?
It was a good read. I like Jeff Bezos. He's a maverick, and it's really great to see how he's taken over the world. Really, it's not. You originally got on to me saying, "Oh, this could be good for you. You're into e-commerce," but a lot of the book is really advanced e-commerce and a lot more than that. He's just in every industry in the world now, and it's really incredible to see how far he's come in such really a short space of time.
Yeah, it was, I found it interesting. Yeah, exactly. I thought it'd be more e-commerce based, but they go into such detail about all the kind of future stuff, which I kind of enjoyed, about where all they're moving to. And as you say, in a relatively short space of time. So for people not familiar with it, it's kind of it's written by a business author. He does features writing for magazines, and it kind of covers, it's not really a history because that was already covered in the previous Amazon book by someone else. And it's more kind of an up-to-date version. They touch briefly on the history and then kind of more into where they're going, where they've been in the last kind of 10 years. So what were the kind of main things that stood out for you?
The main things that stood out for me were obviously the growth of Amazon, how he's grown his particular company, how everybody in the US, how, what is it, 50%? The stat actually isn't in there, but it's about 50% of all online transactions in the States are done in Amazon. So that's pretty crazy. And this whole flywheel that he talks about, and how it takes a lot of effort to get off at the start, but just how it increments and it just drives sales, tremendous amount of sales. And also then how AWS, his hosting company, how he had a hosting problem, he developed a hosting solution, and now has some of the big companies in the world, the Netflix is out there, are all using his software. And that's what takes in most of their profit actually, and allows him to reinvest every penny he makes in his Amazon business back into Amazon, resulting in better services for people, lower prices. And then he's obviously developing his own products as well, and which is driving down prices and making them very competitive. So that part of it was amazing. Then there's all the other areas between his robotics of everything. He's trying to automate as much as possible, automating business decisions, automating his warehouses. Like, his workforce is pretty big. I think is it over 650,000 employees he has?
Globally, yeah, it's massive.
And compared to, I think, is it Google has, how many, Google has about 100, I have it actually written down here. Google has about 100,000 employees and Facebook about 36,000. So he has to, that's his big cost, his employees. I know he's not known for treating his employees well and paying them really low, but he has to reduce that, and he's doing all he can to reduce his employees with automation, his warehouses. And yeah, it's just, that's only internally in Amazon. Then there's all the other things he's doing with health, with, I know, spaceships and all sorts. So it's really incredible what he's done. And it's a great insight, the evolution of Amazon. But you did touch on his other book there. If you don't know much about Bezos, I think checking out the Everything Store book is another great read and a good introductory read into this one, because you just hear about his life and how he did it.
Yeah, if you read the two of them together, actually, because this one follows on, because I was kind of worried, because I'd read that one and I really liked it. And I was like, is this just going to be like a repeat? But it was really good. The flywheel, that blew my mind. Like, just because you hear about all these cliches of like, oh, you know, stand for one thing and have your mission and stick to it. It's probably the first business book I've read whereby the company started with the same mission and still goes on it today with the flywheel. I thought that was really interesting. Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, was helping them with it in the early days.
Yeah. Unbelievable the way, as I said, it's all about customer experience. That's what his flywheel is based on, and just giving the best possible service to his customers with around all areas, service, delivery, and he's just constantly evolving that. And as you mentioned, as it's mentioned in the book, it was quite hard to start off at the start to get these things rolling, and then once they start spinning, it's just crazy. Like, basically, it's, he's lowering the prices with free shipping. Then he gets more selection. That drives more traffic, and which allows him to have more people. Then he gets more people onto Amazon. He has more products. Makes more money. He gets more cash. He doesn't give dividends. So that's reinvested back in the business. And then he starts to loop again and trying to drive down prices. Like, it just evolves, and what now could be evolving to, like, to do an hour delivery in the States.
It's incredible. It's just getting lower and lower and more efficient and more efficient and more efficient. And like, it sounds easy to say, but when you like, you know, as an e-commerce retailer yourself, all the moving parts that go into even just one customer's order, like, as an e-commerce retailer, so you've a lot of experience in e-commerce kind of presently and in the past. So what would your feelings be if you were still, you know, churning out orders? What would your feelings be about Amazon, about going on it or not?
I've been on Amazon in the past, and we came off with the Christmas sweaters in the States. It was, which did okay, but it's really, if you want to go on Amazon, you can't just go half-arsedly in there. You got to be committed. You got to know what's going on. It's, I think in the early days you get away with basic listings, but now it's just so competitive. But there's a lot of opportunity there. Like, there's so many retailers who are just on Amazon only and killing it. But it really does help if you have your own product, which you own the IP of, which is really hard to copy. Because Amazon, first of all, Amazon come along and see, they get all the stats. They know you're doing well. They can launch something similar. So you really got to be able to differentiate your product. But also other people, like, there's great tools out there such as Jungle Scout, allows you to research products on Amazon. And basically what people do is they see products that are doing well. They go through the reviews. They see what people are complaining about in the reviews. They get like the top 10 points there, and they make a product better than that one. And then they market it. So that's, it's constant evolving of products on Amazon. That's one of the routes people take, which can work quite well. But Amazon's a gold mine if you do it well. And there's people in Ireland I know of making hundreds of thousands a month. Now, I'm not sure their profit margin on that, but that'll be a general income sitting here. Wow. They VAs in the Philippines, looking after a lot of the listings, the customer support, and they've a well-oiled machine. So I think Amazon is great, and it can, as an e-commerce business, let's say with functional tennis now, I should really start looking to move some products onto Amazon. But maybe, if people aren't searching for your products on Amazon, you won't do as well. So that's a bit of the problem as well. Right. So if you have a product that's really, really niche and people aren't searching Amazon, then you really won't get return. What you want is a product that's been searched for a lot on Amazon, introducing your angle, building the brand around it, doing like great images, all the info that people want, and going for it. And then there's all, you have to look after stock, you can never sell out, and all those little things hurt you as well. But there's advertising as well. You got to be doing the PPC, where, as it's talked about in the book, Amazon's totally killing it, making money on ads within Amazon.
I thought that was really interesting. The 20-to-1.
That's a big part of the model as well, where you got to be advertising as well. But yeah, I think Amazon can be really successful with the right product, and when you have your heart into it and you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think a few years ago, the drop shipping model was all the rage. People were kind of like, oh, it's just so easy. You bang up a couple of products on Amazon, you never touch it. It seems to be far more hands-on now. I know you're saying there's people in Ireland here doing it with kind of VAs and stuff, but you really have to know what you're doing, I think, do you?
You got to know what you're doing. You don't have to touch the product, but so many manufacturers in China have already shipped into Amazon. Mm. They know what to do. Like before, it was a bit of Wild Wild West. You're taking a bit of a risk. But now, once you can get your stock into Amazon, Amazon handles the FBA. That's by FBA, I mean the fulfillment, the logistics of it. You don't touch anything. So it's absolutely, there's nothing worse than when you get a load of stock landing in the warehouse of the office. You're like, no, another moving day. Like, and there is a lot of work with the logistics of an e-commerce business. And I actually quite enjoy it. I like to control that process myself. But there are times where it's great if you do have stock in the States, and you know, that's where the market is really for most e-commerce companies that want to go really, really big. You got to be big, killing it in the States.
I never really understood what the Amazon ad business was until I started reading this, and then it made total sense about that one retailer talking about how she advertised on Amazon. She gets a 20x return. She advertises on Google and Facebook and gets a 1% return. People are 20 times more likely. Like, that's incredible stats. Like,
that's where the opportunity is at the moment. Obviously, initially it was in Google 10 years ago, and the returns were great there. Less competition, then it got too competitive there. And then it turned to Facebook, which was quite good for a while. But lately, ad spend, the return on ad spend isn't as great on Facebook. And now, with product specific stuff on Amazon, because it's Amazon is product only. It's not obviously Google and Facebook. It could be advertised for any services. Amazon is more specific to products, and the return can be quite good. I don't think the big brands have really got in on it yet. So I think when they get in on it, that will drive the return down.
Yeah. Do you think there's an opportunity there for small retailers to go in now, kind of like the early days, Google and Facebook, and really make a killing before, like you say, like the Nikes, the Under Armours of the world, because they seem a little bit scared of Amazon. They seem to be kind of like it's a deal with the devil whereby they go in and they lose all control over their shipping. Do you think now is the time for kind of small entrepreneurs to get in and kind of stake a claim?
I think now is always the right time, really. So
I love it.
Get in there and give it a go. It is tough, but I think if you just got to give it a go and see, and there's plenty of courses out there where you can pick up information, and it has got a lot harder, but it shouldn't stop anybody from going in there and giving it a bash.
Still early doors.
It's great if you do have a product that's quite unique, that, you know, you've really gone down an angle and there's nothing like it out there, but it's still in a competitive industry, that yes, you will get sales. And I think people are surprised with how many, once the sales start picking up, and then it becomes about developing the next product, the updated product, or how you keep stock going. Because stock can be expensive running an e-commerce business if you're constantly growing. And Amazon now will provide finance for you.
I saw that. I never knew that existed either. So how does that work?
Basically, it works off. You know what? I don't know the exact ins and outs. I've never looked deeply at it, but I think they base it off the health status of your store. So they know that you are making, I don't know, let's say 100 grand a month. They know that. They know your profit margins. They know everything.
That's incredible.
So they know how much they can give you, what rate. I'm sure they have different people they give different rates to, but it's a bit like Shopify works the same way, where Shopify, you can now, they have your stats from your store, and they will give you a loan, and basically get your payout every week or every month. They take a percentage of that payout to pay back the loan. So I'm sure Amazon is something similar to that.
I just read about that thing with Spotify last month. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. Because like that, it's not like going to the bank. They're like, you run a e-commerce store about what? Where? You don't own the, you don't have the stock? It's in the Philippines? I thought it was so interesting. Like Shopify, because they know everything. They know your margins. They know how much you're doing. They know your trajectory of like, well, Fabio has been going up like this for 3 years. He's a safe bet. Like it's genius.
It's good because e-commerce can be, it can be expensive buying products in from China, shipping and all that sort. So it's just a way to finance your growth, really.
Well, the biggest thing I took from the whole book was the, I'd heard about this before, but I hadn't really looked into it, was that when they pitch a new, an idea, so when a new, an employee comes up with a new idea for a product or service, they have to write the 6-page memo. And it's written in the form of a press release as though it's already done and gone out to the consumer. I love that idea. I started digging into it and I started writing one for kind of new ideas I'm working on. I love that. What do you think of that one?
I thought it was interesting. It means nobody's wasting his time, really. They got to put in a lot of effort into the idea that may never happen, but that they can present to him and then he can grill and then they go off and do it again. These things can go 6 months, a year, two, like the six, you just don't show up with it one day and go, here it is.
Yeah.
The six pagers evolve until the six pager is the product and the products, whatever, be it software, internal products or whatever part of Amazon it is, but until it's built, it's ready. And the six page actually reflects that. It's pretty cool the way he got to that stage. Do you know, where did he get, is that his own idea or did he?
I don't know. Somebody? I don't know, actually. Like, I think that's a rule that they have to, they all read before they sit down to go into a meeting and they have to read it before they even say a word, which makes sense. Like, we've all been in meetings where people are just like blowing smoke for the first like hour, just throwing ideas out of their head. Like it's so clever, I thought, in terms of efficiency. And also you're less likely to pitch something absolutely garbage as well if you've put your name on it and you've, as you say, you've put 6 pages of work and you've envisaged every single thing that can go wrong. I love that. I thought it was really clever.
Yeah, and everybody does have to read it as well, so it's not that, as you say, you're at a meeting and there's a presentation and people are sleeping.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody reads it, gives their feedback on it, and then you go off and rework it and come back again in a month or two's time and Bezos grills you again.
So what else did you take from it?
I think the apprenticeship program was really good, where you take somebody by side for 2 years and they go along and they may come from any area whatsoever. They don't have to be, he can just drag them in from another area, and he successfully had people running big divisions of his company that had no experience. I think if you can learn from the best, that's the best business course you can take. It doesn't get better than that.
It's incredible. 2 years shadowing him. That's incredible.
I just couldn't imagine. I just couldn't picture him in and out of offices, you know, grilling people and having like these apprentices with him, you know, following them. I just couldn't. I find that hard to picture, but obviously it goes on. And I'm sure the story, they do a lot more on their own than with him.
You know, yeah, I'd imagine time. They're not like sitting, like I'm sitting here and they're sitting beside me now watching me and chat to you.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I wondered about it as well, because it does make sense though, because like you say, he then installs them to run really important departments. So they've watched him for 2 years. They know his thought process. They've seen him ream out people probably because they just went off on a tangent he didn't want. They're literally clones, I suppose is probably the wrong word, but they're like, they've just been plugged into his brain for 2 years. They know how he thinks, why he thinks like that. So it's a way of creating like little mini yous.
You know, it's amazing. There have been so many successful people who've, you know, trained or been apprenticed with other successful people, and they just learn, as you said, the training taught how to make decisions. And that's what it comes down to. How do these guys make decisions? And that allows you, I think, to be a better leader and get stuff done and be successful.
You see it here because in Ireland. Tony Ryan was apprentice. He had Dennis O'Brien and Michael O'Leary as his apprentices. That's a fairly
good hit. I know some guys who work for Dennis O'Brien who've been close to him and done quite well as well. Like, it all makes total sense. If you get an opportunity to train with these successful people, get in there and do it, because it's do for free. It's, you'll hear all major entrepreneurs say it. It's like, just go do something you really want to do, but go with the best, do for free, and you will learn, it will pay off greatly in years to come.
It's good advice. Well, close to wrapping up. So what else did you think of the book?
Yeah, Todd, as I said, I thought it was good. It wasn't my favorite book.
Go on, be honest. Go on, give us an honest review.
I did prefer the Everything Store. It was bits of the book I thought were great and bits I probably didn't. Like the policy stuff, the Bezos Act stuff, I know it's really important, but it's not. I wouldn't really read a political book. The Bezos Act is really where they say big companies like Amazon don't pay their employees enough. So the US government has to subsidize their living, food stamps. And basically, the Bezos Act means you better start paying these employees more, or we're going to charge you to pay, you know, to pay these extra fees that the general public have to pay. Mm. Taxpayers are paying. So the bit, I'm not really into that. Reading about that sort of stuff was interesting, though, to learn a little bit about it. I'm probably more of a bit on biography book person.
That's why. Yeah, I didn't really understand that until I read it. Store. Yeah.
But like, look, even the warehouse stuff, the automating warehouse stuff is really interesting. Mm. He invested in a car company, electric car company. He's bought 100,000 cars as well off them. So they're in the pipeline. Electric vans. And he's bought them. And there's a lot of interesting nuggets in there. And it's always great to learn a bit more about these readers.
I loved the bit about the warehouses been in the dark. And they're like, why is there no lights? And they're like, robots don't need lights. I thought that was mad line. When you think about it, you're like, wow. Yeah.
I think he has 3 warehouses that are fully automated.
Yeah.
I know you may say 3 is not a lot, but 3 that there's nobody in the warehouse.
When you think about that logic, that's crazy.
Everybody should go to YouTube and just research and type in like the Amazon warehouse and see them operate. They're amazing. And also the warehouse was interesting that the warehouses are slowly like the workers aren't paid too much, but they're really competitive. They've like a Premier League chart of who's the best packers of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're really competitive. Like I packed like 400 things today or what. I can't remember the exact numbers.
I didn't know if that was genius or really sinister. I couldn't decide which.
I think a competitive environment is always good, but once you can keep the quality there.
Spoken like a true tennis player.
My Amazon orders always come in okay, so they must be doing a good job. I'm sure they've loads of checks as well, but it's a good book. If you're into Amazon and want to learn about what's coming in the future, like the 10,000 year clock is really impressive. And maybe we didn't touch on it in this. We haven't talked about it, but the one thing Bezos is a forward planner. Mm. He doesn't think in long-term. For him isn't a year, 5 years. Long-term is 10, 20, 100 years. He's thinking 100 years in advance, which is pretty mind-blowing, really.
It's crazy. Because you always, you know, it's one of those cliches. Oh, I think it's a Japanese saying of, you know, thinking decades, you know, planning years, thinking decades, or maybe it's the other way around. But like, no, it's very hard to do that. Like it's against human nature because we're all so immersed in our present and we want things now and we want it. What am I going to do this year? What am I going to do today? But like you can see, he truly does think in decades and centuries.
Oh, he does. And he gives his employees, like he doesn't put them under pressure to get projects done. If he believes in the project, he gives it time.
Yeah.
And if it takes 1, 2, 3, 4 years, it doesn't seem to bother him. From what I gather from the book, I'm sure it does, really.
Yeah, behind the scenes, I'm sure it does.
So that was impressive. His long-term, it was extra long-term thinking. And also the fact that how hard he pushes employees. He is a bit like, I know Steve Jobs was accused of this as well, where, you know, they want too much from their employees. But I think overall, at the end of the day, he brings out, these guys bring out more out of their employees than they'd ever get out themselves.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And that's something I think about a lot is how do you push yourself? How do you push further? I think it is only being around people who are better than you, that are just pushing harder, that you kind of go, oh, there is a few more gears left here. Like I thought it was at 100%.
These people that you hate every now and again, you're like, you know, that boss that really, why? I'm not doing that. And then you do it and you feel great. You're like, whoa, I did that.
Yeah. So
it's about having somebody on your case all the time that it's not going to be like a happy relationship all the time, but you do understand that they're doing it for the benefit of themselves and yourself.
Mm.
And I think it will help you be more successful in the future as a person also.
What other books do you recommend?
As a business person.
What other books do you recommend people read? As I know you're quite a big reader. What other books would you recommend people follow
on with? I just have a few here. I've tried to get rid of a lot of books. I'm cleaning up my office at the moment. I'm moving office actually because our baby's moving into this office.
Oh, right.
So it's going to be his room. And I'm in the middle of a clear out at the moment. But I have a few books left, and I was more into the biographies. So yeah. I'm more into, obviously the Everything Store was great. Just read the Leonardo da Vinci book, probably last.
Is that good?
It was great, okay. Really good. The guy was so ahead of his time, was amazing. He was a bit of a Bezos in the 1600s.
Okay, which it's was a great analogy. I love that.
Yeah, there's obviously the Steve Jobs book is great. And then I know you've mentioned this before, but the likes of Shoe Dog. Mm. It's great. There's a book here. I'll grab it here if I can. There's loads of books, but this is a good leadership book I read ages ago for e-commerce. The Delivering Happiness by Zap by
Tom Kesh. Yes, you've mentioned that before.
Amazon actually bought him for $1 billion.
Really?
Amazon bought Zappos for $1 billion, but he really shows you the struggles of growing an e-commerce business financially. Like, where do I get money from to grow? That's a good book, and they treat their customers so well. This one's a good book, came across years ago. I'd read it again when I had a bigger team to work with. But it's like Leadership's Plain and Simple by Steve Radcliffe.
I've never heard
short
of that
short read, but there's some great points in here. A real easy read. Mm. I'd recommend that to anybody who is growing their business and has a team.
We'll actually give away a book. If people just share this episode, we'll give away a book so they can pick any of the ones that you recommended there.
Yeah, so there's a load of other books, there's sport books, and latest books are about parenting. So I doubt they're much use to your listeners.
And you're losing your office.
I'm losing my office, yeah. So I have another small office, so it's not so bad.
That's all right. I don't feel too bad.
I lose a nice view here, the nice sun, and I'm into the dungeons now.
So where can people learn a little bit more about you and about Functional Tennis?
Just check. I'm on Instagram at Functional Tennis. That's just tennis related stuff. So again, may not be much use to the audience here. Hang around a little bit on Twitter at FabMall, FABMOL. Mm-hmm. And
your own podcast? Don't forget to plug that.
I do have a podcast, yeah, tennis podcast. I think I started a bit after you, Gary, about a month after you, and we're on episode 58. So
nice. We're side by side.
50, I think I'm going 58 weeks now. So going 58 that's weeks, solid. Trying to not miss one week. And yeah, that's a slow burner, grown slowly. But we've had some great guests on. If you're into tennis, I recommend to put Functional Tennis into your favorite podcast app and have a listen.
Link it, subscribe. If it was the YouTubers always say, like and subscribe. Go to Functional
Tap
Tennis. Fabio, thank you so much for chatting. And that was the review of Beesonomics, which was our July book. If you want to get involved in the August book, you can go to my website, check out the details there. Also, jump on our newsletter. I send it out every Monday. It goes along with our Monday pod. And you also get kind of clues as to what books are coming up. So you'll get like a head start on everyone else. I will see you next Monday for the Ideas Lab. Until then, be safe.